Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Yes, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Pat Rice.
And I'm Jason Ophir.
We've got a great show lined up, Jason, this evening. We're going to get into our guest, calling her here shortly, Misha Johnston. And we are going to talk about aliens, Jason. She has a whole ton of information. And guess why? She's been abducted.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And she has support groups that she's created since the early 90s and just a lot of experience. So, you know, we've had a couple of opportunities in the last, say, month. We've talked to a couple of people about aliens. And we talked to David Bryce, and that was interesting. So we're going to have an opportunity to really chat with Misha tonight. And I know that's a subject that you love to talk about as well.
I love aliens. I sleep, eat, and drink aliens. I love the UFO thing. And, you know, as many people know, I've had my own UFO experiences. So I really love it when we get other people on that have had experiences, and I'm hoping maybe to learn a little bit more tonight, because one area of the UFO or ufology that I don't know a lot about is star children, and I've heard a little bit here and there, but I really don't know anything about it, so I'm excited to learn a little bit about that area.
Right, star children, and also Misha has information on several types of aliens that I'm interested in talking with her about also. Now, before we give her a call, I wanted to make a couple of announcements, Jason. One is we broadcast this show on Saturdays at 10 p.m. every Saturday on KITC-FM 106.5, which is a live radio show, and we have the honor of being on that station. Now, there's a sister station that's being created, and that's going to be KNCP 107.3, and we will also be on that. However, they need some money for the equipment, so I wanted to put out there to the listeners, it's been posted on our Facebook page, that there is a Kickstarter campaign going on right now. If you just go to Kickstarter.com and search for KNCP, any donation is helpful. Because, you know, Jason, as you know, the beauty of stations like KITC-FM is people like us get to have our shows on.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of other great shows, a very eclectic mix of music and talk shows. It's an educational station. So please consider going to Kickstarter.com, KNCP, and donating so that that station can be launched and get the equipment that they need.
I know, when I get some funds, I plan on making a donation to it as well.
Yeah, and like I said, $20, $10, $100, whatever. That would be helpful. They do have a charter membership program. If you donate $250 and if you happen to have a business or even a show, you would get a year of free advertising on the station, which is a really a very, very good deal. So,
do they know how many people that's going to reach, that station?
Well, it can easily reach the area that it's being launched in, which is Central Oregon. It would have the potential of probably reaching 20,000 people. It's a smaller area. However, it will be on the internet as well, just like KITC-FM. So, anyway, but we're not here to talk about radio programming, radio stations. We want to talk about paranormal, and also about halfway through the show, we will be taking a station break, or I guess I should say a Friends of Paranormal Horizons break, because we always play a commercial for one of our folks that we've had on the show in the past. And Jason, you kindly make free commercials. So if that's something that you're interested in, if you're listening, just contact us via our Facebook page.
Yeah, I do have a little bit of time over the next week. So if anybody wants one made, I can certainly do that. I've got a few things I got to work on for some other people, but I should have time if anybody wants to contact us on our Facebook page and we can get it all sorted out. It's usually a pretty quick process for me. I've become pretty adept at it, so we can usually kick something out, and it's always a pleasure to play it here on the show.
It sure is. Friends of Paranormal Horizons. And also I wanted to mention next week on the show, that's the 30th. Can you believe it's the end of the month?
So quick.
Yeah, we are going to have Maud McGee, author, and I wanted to let everybody know we're going to be giving away some of his books. However, I want to kind of jump start that giveaway, Jason. So if you're listening right now and you send us a message on our Paranormal Horizons Facebook page with your name and address, we will mail you a free book from Maud McGee. And this particular book is about hauntings in San Francisco. So if you want the book, send us a Facebook message with your address.
Doesn't get any easier than that.
No.
Get on there. Send a message, and we will send out a book to you.
Right. Yeah, free. All free.
Got it. Nothing in life is free nowadays.
Yeah, and that's
except for that book.
Yes, that's right. Only here on Paranormal Horizons. Well, listen, you want to go ahead and call Misha, Jason?
Absolutely.
Misha, we're going to call you right now. I'll keep talking while he's doing that. I wanted to give a little bit more of an intro on Misha Johnston, who is the founder of the Star Family Contactee Group, and it's a group that's for experiencers, folks, men, women, teens, children who have been contacted or experienced an abduction by ETs. And these are groups that are very helpful for people who have experienced that. I never have. I have.
I can relate.
Yeah, and I'm
right
sure,
up my alley.
You know, we've talked to some other folks who've said it's good. We've talked to people who say it's bad. So, yeah.
I say it's bad.
Yeah, Jason says it's bad, and we're going to hear what Misha has to say. All right, let's go ahead and dial. We are dialing Misha now.
The modern technology is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, ringy.
Hey, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, Misha. It's Pat Rice with Paranormal Horizons.
Hi, Misha.
Hi, Pat.
Hi.
We are on the
can
show?
Can you hear us? Yes, yep. We are live.
I can. All right.
Good.
Thank you for having me on the show. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, we did give an introduction that you probably didn't get to hear, Misha, but we talked about that you are the founder of the Star Family Contactee Group. We want to talk to you about that and several other things, but I was wondering if we could get started by you. Would you kind of tell us how you discovered that you had been abducted? I know that you said you were abducted at a real early age.
Yes. Well, I came to the awakening in 1989. And before then, I had had flashes, I'd had dreams, things were starting to come back. That seems to be the way it happens. for people that they start having flashes, just like a post-traumatic stress kind of thing. And then also you'll have dreams that remind you. Of course, my whole life, because I knew and did remember some things as a child, we had a family experience where we were driving and we looked out the window and my mother said, "For the love of Pete Roger, what is that?" And we all looked and there was a UFO. If I would put my fist, my hand up, it would be just slightly smaller than my fist. So he was extremely close. And he traveled alongside of us for a while. And then it just zipped off. We were on a vacation. And just later on down the road, we started, it was in the evening time, and we started driving up this very curvy road, which, of course, this is when I was a child. So it was before there were freeways. And one by one, people kept falling asleep. And my sister said, "Hey, Dad, I'll stay awake with you." And so that was the last thing anybody remembers until my father screaming on the other side. He brought the car to a screeching halt and said, "Oh, my God, how did I get here? How did we get here?"
Oh,
because we were on the other side of the mountain. And I actually, I've had like 17 regressions to take the memories that I do have, like this one, and find out what else happened. But not only did they virtually pick up the car and all of us in it, but we did go aboard, car and all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that like a total conscious thing where you put in some sort of state of, I don't know, like put out or anesthetize or anything like that?
Well, see, all I remember is what experience I had. I know the car went up. I know the next thing I remember, I'm on a table, an examining table, and I don't know what the rest of the family's doing. You know, we don't see them. And in other cases, I did see family members, but not this particular time. All I remember is the car going up in the air, and then the next flash and memory I have was that I was, like I said, being examined by little gray guys.
So were you terrified, Misha? Do you remember how you felt?
I see, as a child, I did not remember what happened. So when I did have the regression and find out that that was the missing time, you know, that we had, where we ended up on the other side of the mountain. Yeah, sure. That's the very first thing. I mean, it's the fight or flight kind of thing that happens with all of us. So what you do not know, you do not understand, and you fear. And so when it started coming out, now that wasn't my first memory, that I uncovered. But that was just one of the many, because, like I said, I've had like 17 regressions that have helped me get the pieces. I remember things like, deers at my window, and this is just really odd, that these three deers would come to my window, and they'd come to my window every night. Not every night, but, every so often they'd come to my, and I knew it was, it was time to me to go see the deers. And all I can remember is standing up, seeing the deers, and that was the end of it. And that, went on throughout most of my childhood. That was the screen memory that they used for me because it made me feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I've heard that before where people you get that screen memory where it's your interaction with these beings is replaced, say, animals like deer or owls. I've heard that before.
Yes, so
now,
have I.
Misha,
so have I.
Was it only when you had the regressions is when you started then remembering, or was there a point in your life where then you were aware?
Well, that was in 89 when things started flashing with me, and I was remembering. That started in 89. It's like a light goes on in your head, and all of a sudden everything, you are totally consumed with these flashes and these memories, and you're consumed with the idea of, oh my God, I have to find out. I have to find out what these memories are, what these dreams that I keep dreaming about times in my past in my life that that I didn't have any knowledge that an ET was involved, and then it is, and you know, so it's just kind of a process that most people do go through, and then they're just driven to find the answers out, as I was.
A weird coincidence is 1989 was also the year I started to have strange things happen. Just a weird coincidence. What part of the country did you have the majority of your experiences as a child?
At the time I was in, when I first had the encounters as a child, it was in Idaho. But then in 89, I was in Utah.
Okay.
And that's when I had a lot of encounters going on, and some of them were ETs, what I call a tall, willowy one, who was kind of a whitish abalone color. He was like sparkly, I remember, and he had an energy about him. He was with me my whole life, I found out, because he wasn't just with me as an adult. I started having the memories, and then, of course, retrieving some of them that he had been with me my whole life. And so in Ogden, when I first thought I was encountering him, he had been kind of an ET guide, I guess you might say. And my sons actually saw one night where I was, the tall willy one was standing by my son's bunk bed, and he was at the top. And my son woke up, and he said telepathically, which is always telepathic with him, that do not, there's no harm going to come to your family. We're not here for you. And then he saw behind him, as he could see by through the open door, he could see this this blue light just kind of in the hall, and he then seen an ET walking or floating or however they do, saw me levitating in between two graves. And the only place for me to go at that, and I remember that experience because I remember waking up, flash of just for a second, and seeing a window and thinking, I can't get through this window. It's closed. How are they going to take me through this window? And then a telepathic message came to me that they said, because we will take you through a time when there was no window there. So these little gray guys are time travelers, in my experience.
So
my son, you know, basically watched me go down the hall.
Wow.
And then I disappeared out the window.
Boy, that's interesting. Amisha, that brings me to another question I had. It sounds like you didn't feel that they were going to harm you because they sent you this telepathic message. Has that been true with any of the other, you know, different alien types that you've experienced, that they didn't want to do any harm?
Well, in most cases, yes. I mean, my first encounter was with these little guys. I would say, since I lived in Idaho, they could have been like a baby Bigfoot. They were either a baby Bigfoot or a hobbit. I wasn't sure which. And they took me flying. You know, and I, as far as I was concerned, they were my friends. I came from a very, very scary childhood, and they helped me know that I, you know, give me love, and I felt the love from them. And so when they came, I looked forward to it.
Because that's interesting.
Into like an MK Ultra family, so I had a lot of really scary things happening to me. So they were like my savior. They saved me, you know, as far as I was concerned, along with the willowy one. I always felt very connected to him.
Now, I'm really curious, because you said you we're from an MK Ultra family, and for the listeners, I'm not an expert, but MK Ultra was the mind control CIA LSD thing back in the 70s that was exposed. It was a big conspiracy, but then the CIA actually had to admit to it, and they did some pretty horrible things with that. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Okay, well, they did say that they'd closed it down, which is not true. And they did admit to it happening into the, I think they admitted into the 60s, but it was going long before that. And for me, you know, because my father was MKUltra, he had to have been mind controlled as a child, because I've looked back and done a lot of research with his life and my family and the lines and everything, and it points definitely that he was also mind control. So therefore, he perpetrated, continued this process going on, and it's a huge long story, so I can't really go into a lot of it, other than to say that out of the 10 children, I ended up being chose because I was the last one, living one. And I was chose to turn over. I was turned over to the MKUltra and Monarch program. And at age 3, my father and he subsequently took me to others, started the training for the Monarch and sex slavery. And then I was put into service at 9.
Oh,
so
wow.
Those are memories that I am just bringing out in the last 2 years. They're just starting to resurface. Now I'm understanding everything. I'm understanding much, much more about what went on in my life and why I had so many huge blank spots throughout my childhood. I mean, majority of it was gone.
Now, that's pretty freaky,
Of course, you know, they don't just leave you alone as a child. They continue it on through my adult life
everybody,
and everything.
If you're just tuning in, our special guest here on Paranormal Horizons is Misha Johnston, founder of the Star Family Contactee, and we're talking with her about her experiences with aliens here on Blog Talk Radio, KITCFM 106.5. So, Misha, what about some of the other aliens that you talked about? Like, what's an insectoid? Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What
okay,
kind
before
of alien
you do,
are
I
that?
Want to just make one little clarification. Star Family Group was the group I started back in 92. It has since been changed. The name has been changed. I changed it to Starseed Awakening.
Okay.
Experience
Starseed
or Contact
Awakening.
Group. Just so people know that you know, I have a website with starseedawakening.org, and, you know, so they wouldn't be able to find anything on Starseed Family anymore.
Okay, great.
I changed that.
Right.
And the reason I called it family back then was because I started the children's group and the teens group and everything, so it became that was the most important thing, which it still is, the children. But would you mind asking me that question again?
Yes, absolutely. And before I get back to that question, I want to let everyone know the chat room is live. There's several people in the chat room. And if you have a question for Misha, you can put it in the chat room and then we will get it out to her. But Jason, did you have another question as well?
Yeah, I have a quick question, a real brief one on the MK Ultra. I was wondering, do you feel that there's any connection between MK Ultra and the alien experience, or do you think those are two separate things?
There is definitely an alien connection farther in, deeper into the black part of it. There is. As far as the ET's experiences, there are so many ETs. In fact, you know, different people in the government have admitted to the fact that there's something like I'm going to probably just throw out a number here because I'm not positive what it was. It's 52 or 57 or something like that. So there's so many different types of ETs, and there are so many positive ET groups. There's a much bigger majority of the positive visiting us than there certainly is of the negative. But, yes, there is groups that do work within the Black Ops projects. And I have seen in the underground bases where I was taken, I have seen and had interactions with about three different types there.
Are there,
and a hybrid.
Are there different kinds of grays? There's kind of a quasi question in chat. And I guess my question is, are all the grays, are they good? Are they bad? Are there some grays that are good or some grays that are bad?
Oh, yes. Just like there's some humans that are good and some humans that are bad. So the grays that people will talk about that have no feeling, that are very robotic, quite possibly are robotic clones mostly. And some of the groups use them actually to assist them with the humans, because they, as being clones, can come into our contact and probably not cause diseases and things like that. More of your older ETs, or grays, I should say, cannot be around humans because they can get disease from us. So if they're standing back watching, and people talk about it all the time, that they're seeing ETs just stand back there and watch. A lot of the times they'll see the taller ones, the insectoids, or the praying mantis type. They will see them standing back, as well as some reptilians too. And they'll see them watching the whole procedure, and you're really only being touched by the grays. And in what I have researched and found out, it is because they don't want to get our dermis and our diseases and things like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was curious, on these insectoids, I'm not really familiar with those. Do those kind of have like a praying mantis look to them? What do those look like? What do their heads look like?
Well, there's a few different types of those too. There's the praying mantis that has a very big head and a pointed chin, and they're very skinny, similar to what my willowy one was, but this one later that I saw was an insectoid, and that's my opinion of what it was. I knew it wasn't a praying mantis because I've never had encounters with a praying mantis, but the pictures I've seen of the praying mantis, they have more of the very stick-like body, like an insect, versus the other ones that more have that insectoid eyes, but yet their bodies are just very slender. But they're not, like with a praying mantis, they're always kind of bent over, people say. They're awfully tall, usually, 7-8 feet tall, whereas many of the grays are anywhere from, of course, the short ones to a mid-sized one, five-ish, and then others that even go up to 6 feet and more. So that shows you that there's so many different types.
That sounds absolutely terrifying.
I know.
An 8-foot praying mantis bending over you,
Yeah.
Well, I haven't had one of the praying mantis, but I've had one, people want to go on my website, they can see my experiences with what the ETs look like,
Okay.
While they're talking, even. It's called starseedawakening.org, and they can go to where my story is, or not my story, it goes to where my articles and stuff about myself and my experience, so they can see pictures, or they can just go to the gallery.
That sounds great. Starseedawakening.org. That's Misha's website. There's pictures or descriptions of the aliens that you've encountered. Now, Misha, you mm-hmm. said something interesting earlier about the underground bases. What
mm-hmm.
can you tell us about those? I mean, were those places that you were taken to consciously, and you know where they are to this day, or what can you share with us on that?
No. You okay. Remember being picked up. You remember being in the bases. You sometimes might remember a ride in a fast vehicle or a helicopter, but you are not going to be able to know how to get there. I'm sure, I mean, I sure can't. There might be somebody out there who has a memory of it, but...
I don't.
You're drugged.
There.
Oh, you don't? Right. Do you have any bases?
Same thing. I've had the same kind of experiences, and I do not find them pleasant. And there was evidence left behind. It was a big deal 20 years ago. The evidence was sent to Whitley Strieber in New York, and then it went down to a lab in Texas. The lab wasn't able to identify it. It's some sort of instrument. And, yeah, it's a big, crazy thing, but I totally am into what you're saying because I've experienced it firsthand.
Wow. Well, I'd love to invite you to our group. We have
groups
on the Internet. I'd love to have you come by and share your experience. And, you know, after you share your experience with a lot of other people, this is why support groups are really so very, very valuable and important, is because when people come into the groups, they always come in mostly. They come in fear. They come in very confused about the experience. They want to know why in the world it's them that's picked out of all the millions of people. And then they think they're the only ones that are having these experiences. But after they listen to other people and other people's experiences, they realize they are not alone. And a lot of these people are having experiences that are exactly like what you're having, but they are looking at them as not quite a negative thing. You know, it's not, it may have its scary points, just like a bird, like an eagle that gets grabbed and tagged and then sent on its way. You know, those are very scary things, or a different animal that's, has to be grabbed and put to sleep, and then something done to them to help them continue their species, you know? So perhaps these are some of the things they're doing.
That's the way I always described it when I talked about it on the radio, is that to me, it was exactly like that. It was like an African safari, you know, and you're the animal and somebody's shooting you, taking you against your will and tagging you, like you said. That was my kind of interpretation of how I felt about it. But I don't usually, you know, I've only talked about it, you know, for the last year or so. I try not to think about it because it kind of freaks you out when you start thinking about it, particularly when you're trying to sleep.
Well, yes, I can understand that. But then there's another side of the coin that the more you share and talk about it, the more you realize and find out the reason behind it, why they were there. You get a little bit more connection to them. Perhaps there was that galactic being standing in the background that is more connected to you in a familiar kind of, or possibly family way, and they're watching over you. They are, and though it's not the most absolute everything pleasant that happened, the purpose of it, you know, justifies what went on. So, and I have found that I have a galactic family that has been watching over and protecting me. And had my galactic family not been with me, I would have probably went off a cliff. Without a doubt. And I'll be sharing with you about my reptilian encounter and how important that one is to me. As well as, I always like to keep everything balanced, because we always know there's a negative and positive to everything in life, and the polarities are that there are positive and negative ETs, and the negative ones are working with the government, in my opinion. Not the government, but black ops, the deep projects like that.
Very interesting. Hey, everybody, and Misha, we're going to take a quick break to play one of our Friends of Paranormal commercials, and we'll be right back with Misha Johnston, and we'll talk about reptilians and other interesting subjects. So stay on the line.
You are about to enter into the world of Dayton, Ohio Supernatural.
There are beet red. Holy water. Now.
This ball just moved.
It's moving
it's
again.
Moving
again. Oh.
Is your house haunted? Are you experiencing strange things such as moving objects, strange sounds, footsteps? Then you should contact Dayton, Ohio Supernatural Paranormal Investigations.
Get in here now.
You guys hear a little girl? I swear I just heard a little girl.
You can locate DOS on Facebook at facebook.com/DaytonOhioSupernaturalDOS.
Would you be mad if I sprinkled some holy water down here?
Oh, that's freaky.
What?
Cleansing.
The paranormal world is all around us. We don't always see it, but it's there. If you're experiencing strange things in your home or business, why don't you give Dayton, Ohio Supernatural a call and see if you can get some answers.
Dayton, Ohio Supernatural. We've had them on the show in the past. Misha, welcome back. And again, thank you for being on Paranormal Horizons, Blog Talk Radio, and KITCFM.com, where you can catch the rebroadcast of this show at 10 p.m. Pacific Time, KITCFM.com. All right, so where were we? You
okay.
were going to talk about your, you wanted to mention the reptilians.
Okay. Well, of course, we're jumping all around. So, you know, but I did not have any, I had a conscious memory of, and this was a conscious, this was not through regression, with a being that would first come to me, and I saw this human, you know, it was a man, blonde hair, very, very muscular and attractive, and telepathically he would take me to aboard a ship. I remember being in what I felt was like classrooms. There was a big screen with holographic images that would be on there. It was like we were learning something. I don't know if it was a language. I also remember hearing things that were very unusual sounding. So that happened for quite a while. And I said, so one night he came and I said, you know, I feel your unconditional love, because I did. I felt a wonderful, loving being, very, very kind. Was when I didn't even have to be paralyzed, because at first I was paralyzed, but then I didn't like it, and so I wasn't paralyzed. And so I was basically, I wake up on board the ship, or I'd wake up with mm-hmm. the bear, and then I'd be on the board of the ship. So, because I didn't like the feeling of the paralyzed. I'd hear the ringing,
yeah.
but I didn't feel the paralysis. So that was good. But this one particular night, I should preface it this way, and that this is probably going to be too crazy for you guys, but there it goes.
There was a
love, an unconditional loving feeling, as I told you. But one night I felt, And I'd felt it before, but this particular night I felt the Kundalini energy. Now this is a really spiritual energy that goes through all of your chakras, and it goes in cover and it runs your entire body, and it's just amazing and so unbelievable moving. And so I knew he was standing there. That's all I got to do. They don't actually have to physically touch you. He was standing there, this beautiful blonde, and I said, I know you're not who you look like there. Please show me who you are. And he said, telepathically, are you sure? Are you ready? I said, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to know. I know you're not who, I know I'm going to recognize you if you'll just show me. All right, if you're absolutely ready. So I will say to my dying breath, this is not shape-shifting. This was, now I was allowed to not have that screen memory of what he was supposed to look like, but now what his real appearance was. And he there standing in front of me was over 7 feet tall, reptilian. He was very buffed, very, very muscular. He had kind of like a, what you might call a breastplate. It was, another way to describe it is kind of like how the turtles have on their underside. And it was definitely organic, because later I did touch different parts of his body to understand, because I also have a terrible paranoid of snakes. And this being has skin that is very much like a snake. Their eyes, his eyes, in fact, if you see him, his name is Ayano, if the people are looking at him, if you kind of cover up his nose, he's kind of got snake eyes, and that was something that was really hard for me. That goes into something else completely to do with the ritual abuse, why I'm afraid of snakes. But so I had nothing to do with him. But anyway, he was very careful not to show his teeth or anything like that. He just stood there, and he allowed me to just really take it in very slowly. He had four claws. They came to sharp claws. He had feet that had the same kind of claws, little kind of animals looking, and he wore a black pair of tight-fitting kind of covering on his bottom side, and his top side was he had nothing on. He also, another time I've seen him, he's been in cloaks. In fact, after that, because he knew it was really hard for me, and I started to like get really freaked out a little bit, I could see this. This feeling, I could maybe see it, I could look at his face, I felt this sadness, and I said, okay, I know though, I can feel your love, you do, you're a kind being, you've always been kind to me, so it was a little hard for me to get through at first, but then I did kind of get very comfortable with it, and most of the time wear a cape. It's kind of like a hood around it. And I know that was just always to make me feel more comfortable. And to me, some of the screen memories are done to make people more comfortable.
Yeah,
so
I would
that's
think so.
Kind of it. Now, Ayano was with me for several years, off and on, from 89 to 2000. One, and I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that comes in between that that was going on with me, including I'm not going to go into that, but he helped me stop my MK Ultra service. And
you don't see him now.
I feel him, and people see him in my house, and people have seen him standing behind me, and I feel him, I hear him, but I don't physically see him anymore, and that's due to contracts that I canceled. Because there was horrible things going on. My life was in jeopardy. My family was, and things were going on that I had to. I was going to just go off a cliff. And you know, one night I said to him, I can't do this anymore. You know, I just can't. And I'm going to end it. And the next thing I remember is I'm standing in front of a council of all types of different ETs. There was probably 12, but I didn't tell you. I can't tell you that for sure because I didn't count. But it seemed like the way it was a half moon thing, that would be about the approximate beings that were there. And there was everything from different types of reptilians to praying mantis to kind of a thing that was between a bear and a Bigfoot. There was some light beings that were totally human looking, but they were very like ghost. I'm sorry?
Well, this board of aliens that were, why did you have to go see them? What happened? I mean,
there I was. I was standing in front of them, and I said, I can't do it anymore. I want to come home.
Okay.
At that moment, I knew who I was. I knew who I was, that I was a spiritual being and having a human life. And I said, I can't do this anymore. And this one that I was just about to tell you about, that looked kind of like what would be Anglo-Saxon's idea of Jesus, but I don't know. I don't think it was Jesus. He had white hair. He was very old. Maybe even like one of the gods from the... like Zeus and that type of thing. That was the appearance he had. And he telepathically, I could tell when anybody was speaking because an energy came up around their chair that they were sitting in. So it was, or around them, in them. I wasn't sure which it was, but there were. So he was speaking to me and telepathically he said, "Beloved, do you not remember? You asked for this mission. You volunteered to go to Earth. And your mission is not complete." And so
what is the
mission? Stood there arguing and whining. My mission?
The purpose of all this contact is. So you have a mission. I was wondering if you knew what that mission was, or what might some other missions be for other people that are having the same experiences?
Well, as soon as I finish the story, I will answer that question too.
Okay.
At that point, then he said, "But what we can do is we can help you cancel your contracts." So I'm telling you, I saw paper, I saw contracts, I saw etherically looking at it. I know it was there, and I canceled and signed a cancellation on all my contracts. Now, those are the contracts with all the ETs, all the governments, all the military, and the MK Ultra. I believe the MK Ultra. I'm not sure of. To this day, I'm not sure about that one. They still might be accessing me because I have blank spots. But anyway, so for people, contracts can be, their mission can be anything. So I was returned back home to finish my mission because they said you must finish your mission. So I was returned back home. And from that moment on, I never saw Ayano again. Not that moment on. One other time. He came to my rescue one other time when some reptilians, which had happened to me before, reptilians came into my room that were from the let's call it, Service of Self faction, that were once again probably going to be taking me, and he showed up out of nowhere, and as the moment he showed up, they disappeared. So I'd seen him protect me before in another time that was surely going to be my death. So he I guess they're scared of him. I'm not sure. But anyway, they disappeared, and I never, ever saw any beings come into my room again. Nor did I have any memory of any types of ETs as in the positive natures. None of my, no willowy one, and not Ayano. So I canceled the contracts, which means if you cancel contracts, you cancel contracts. So I canceled all my contracts. Now, my mission, back to that question, okay? My mission is, because of my life and my lifelong experiences as an ET experiencer, as well as the MKUltra, the MyLab, the ritualistic views, all of these things, which I mean, I can definitely go into more details about that if you want to ask questions. I know this was all in place because I I signed up to live in the family I lived in. I signed up for everything. So my mission is to help people. My mission is to do the groups, to start the group in 1992 and to continue this group going here now, and it's now moved to internet, and you know, it's to help people that are having the same kinds of experience, whether they're a positive or whether they're a negative experience, have some place to go to share their experience so that they don't feel alone. And in the case of being military abductee, my labs, or being MK Ultra, they are ritual abuse or target individual or super soldier. They have some place to go so they don't isolate, because isolation is terrible for anybody. And they have somebody to share with, because their family don't want to hear. Most of their family and friends are not able to. They cannot accept it at this time. So a lot of people will find their mission. Now, when people come to my groups, sometimes they'll find out that a mission for them is to start a group. I have actually two people who are now starting their own groups, experiencer groups. One is starting a reptilian experiencer contact group, and another one is going to be starting a local group in her area. So
that's great.
They realized that was their mission, you know. Other people realize their art, they're doing this fabulous art, and there's other people who don't know how to draw their being. So they become a service, like Sarah, who's done a lot of my art, and David Chase, who's done a lot of my art. And there's wonderful, wonderful artists out there that's their mission, in my opinion. And like, for instance, David goes around speaking at conventions, explaining all these beautiful pictures and all the experiences that people have.
Wow, that's amazing.
Bridget, now, she's the one that does the reach, which is for the reptilian experiencers.
Okay. And is that all on your website, starseedawakening.org? Other groups?
No. The other groups?
Okay.
Oh, yes. For them to come and join them? Yes. It's in the part that services, I believe it's under my services.
Okay.
Under services, so they can go and
excellent.
And I have two local groups here in Las Vegas that I have at my home, that for experiencers. One is for experiencers, and the other one is for star seeds. Now, I'm sure you already know what a star seed is, right?
Well,
we kind of have a loose understanding of it.
Yeah, if you could talk about that a little bit. That was a question we had, Misha.
Okay. Well, a star seed is a person and persons who have decided to come on this earth at this time and to participate and facilitate and help in the conscious raising of the earth. And so many star seeds have been coming. Like, if you're familiar with Dolores Cannon, she talks about the three waves of star seeds. I think there's a fourth wave since her last book. I think there seems to be a fourth wave, and that's those wonderful starseed children. But at any rate, your first wave was kind of my wave. We came in, and that would have been the people such as like the the hippie, the original hippie movement that really just wanted to send love to people and didn't want war, and you know they just wanted people to love each other and not be prejudiced and all of these. Then there's a second wave seems to be the real researchers. They're working they write a lot of books, they do a lot of healing, they learn how to do the different types and modalities of healing. They're just really working hard at trying to understand everything, you know, and learn everything. And then the third wave, and in fact, I might add that the second wave also, there's many of them in the second and in the older ages of the third wave they're here to be. Their frequency, their energy is so wonderful, it's so good that they're here to help raise the vibration. They're just here to be and participate and things like that. And then, of course, like I said, I believe that the fourth generation are the starseeds / I'm going to say this, hybrids. I believe that the children that are coming in now have definitely alien, or we might call junk DNA, which we all have, but they seem to be so amazing. They, you know, you have so many kids that are far surpass intelligence. There's so many savants. There's children who are artists. There's children who remember their past lives.
Mm-hmm.
The children just seem to be remembering more. The veil doesn't seem to be, they don't seem to be having that veil on them. Like, I think all of us were born without the with a veil of a forgetfulness, I should say, a forgetting of who we really are, that we're spiritual beings having a human life. And so when people started in saying, well, you're not seeing those things, well, then, of course, as a kid, we go, well, you're right, I guess I must not be. And, of course, we stopped our psychic abilities. But these kids are not going to let anybody tell them what they don't see, because, I mean, I have actually a group of children that they talk about their past lives, their psychic abilities. I actually have on my website a starseed awakening. If you can tell, how you can tell if your child is a starseed, and there's some amazing anomalies that they have that, you know, I hate to use the word normal, but let's say normal children don't.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
And most of these people. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, with all of that happening with the starseed folks, you know, more of them being on the planet and the hybrids, do you think, are we evolving at a faster rate?
Oh, yes.
And what,
yes.
So.
You broke up.
Oh, go ahead. What you were going to say about evolving.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I was agreeing. Yes, we are evolving at a very rapid rate, and it's part of the conscious raising. It's part of the ascension is that evolving, that the children are naturally going to, each generation is going to evolve more and more and more. And that's part of the assisting of the awakening of the majority of the populace, because, you know, we're not going to get everybody awake, but it's like the 100th monkey.
Mm-hmm.
We can get a lot of people. You know what? I bet you notice a lot of people are awake more. They don't buy all the news crap that goes off, you know, all the stories or these situations where you've got what I would call definitely these MK Ultra kids that have now been, I'm getting blocked on words here. They are Manchurian candidates. There we go. They're Manchurian candidates, and it's like the shootings, mm-hmm. at the McDonald's and all of those. Or even like the school one. My for instance, my sister was looking at it and says, that this doesn't figure out. This is not weird. Sometimes, you know, the news media keeps changing and shifting. So people are awaking up everywhere, I believe.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, we are just about out of time, Jason.
Yes.
And Misha, what a interesting conversation, Misha. I can tell there's just so much more to talk with you about. And I do want to remind everyone, Misha's website, starseedawakening.org. And I guess
can
Misha,
I just say that Starseed Facebook as well, Starseed Awakening Facebook,
yes,
so they can join.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm definitely going to check out your pages and the Facebook one, too. And I think I'll probably join so I could share some of my crazy path.
Oh, Jason, I'm so happy. Great. I'm looking forward to meeting you
in
person, so to speak.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, Misha, thank you so much for being so open and candid and with sharing your experiences and helping so many people. I can tell that you've worked on this for a long time, and like you said, this is your mission, is to help others. So thank you for that, and thank you for being on Paranormal Horizons.
Yeah, thank you.
And
so
thank
much.
You for your
thrilled
service back. With your show. All righty. Good night.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. All right, Jason. Well, wow, that was just a...
It's right up my alley.
Yeah, a plethora of information. And I did want to remind everyone next week again, we've got Mord McGee. He's an author. And if you'd like a copy of his book, Hauntings in San Francisco, just send us a private Facebook message on our Paranormal Horizons Facebook with your address, and we'll send you a book.
Now, are you doing just the first person that sends that, or more than one person?
Well, if more than one sends, we'll send them a book. We've got a few.
Okay.
So we can, and if we think of any other creative giveaways next week while we're talking to Mord, we can give away more.
So if I put a message on it, do I get a book?
Well, no.
No?
No.
Oh, no.
And then on October 7th, we've got Cherry Divine. She is a channeler, and she's able to channel the ancients. We'll find out more about exactly what that means. I mean, I have an opinion of what that means, but it'll be interesting to hear from Cherry Divine here on Paranormal Horizons. And don't forget about the Kickstarter campaign that's going on right now, kickstarter.com. Search for KNCP, which is another community radio station that is working on getting launched.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anything else going on, Jason, we need to announce before we sign off?
Not much. Again, if anybody wants any intros or commercials to play for, to have played on this show, you can also get in contact with us at our Facebook page and just send me a message and we'll get it all sorted out. I've got a few to do. Probably get it done this week, but if that sounds something that's interesting to anybody out there, send us a message and we can get it figured out. You know, if you write a book or you have a paranormal group or anything.
Right. Right on. Even if you have another show, an internet radio show, we're willing to advertise that too. And speaking of that, Supernatural Gallery is going to be on Blog Talk Radio on the 26th.
Yes, and I'm part of that, too.
Yeah, now I don't know the time of that show, Jason. Do you know, recall?
I believe it's West Coast time. It would be 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So 11 o'clock East Coast time, I believe.
Okay, well, maybe we can
or
post
midnight.
Something.
It's midnight East Coast. And
ooh.
So I guess that would be, 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
West
9
Coast.
O'clock Pacific time. And we'll post something about that on our Paranormal Facebook page. So, again, that's going to be Paranormal Gallery. Did I get that right?
Supernatural Gallery.
Supernatural Gallery on the 26th. So be
and
sure
to close
to
the episode tonight, I do have a promo for Supernatural Gallery, so we can end the show with that.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Supernatural Gallery.
This is Jason Ophir from Paranormal Horizons. Are you into the supernatural? Ghosts? UFOs? Demons? Well, if you are, you're going to want to make sure you give a listen to Supernatural Gallery. Supernatural Gallery is hosted by Jerry Williams, Joey Giggles, and R.L. Demery. Supernatural Gallery is at WIRN 81.3, which can be found at www.WIRN813.com. The supernatural world is all around us. We don't always see it, but it's there. Why don't you give Supernatural Gallery a listen and see if you can find some answers?